once darkness, but now you are light. So live as children of light. So as it's saying, do you know what I feel like he's saying to me? He's saying, hey, listen, you were once darkness. You ain't anymore. So don't go back. Live as children of light. And to be honest, I feel like most of us in this room, we can say, whenever I fall into sin or I feel like I'm going back to darkness, most of us in the room can say, it's not like I do it intentionally. Right? Most of us in this room, we don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to live in darkness. You know, like we don't say, you know what? I am going to try to make God as mad as possible today. I'm going to live in sin like you've never seen before. You know, we don't choose necessarily on purpose to fall back into darkness. But yet sometimes we end up there. I don't know if you've ever read any stories where people have been either abducted, they're horrendous stories, or they have been held as prisoners in a home. They're terrible, and it's a terrible thing. And if you've ever read their story about what happened and what happened after, they describe that they were imprisoned in a home, in a room. They were kept in the darkness. But there was moments of light. Because their abductors the people who were holding them captive would actually take them out every once in a while. They would take them to restaurants. They would take them maybe to different places to shop. But then they would take them back to the darkness. And people always ask after they get freed and rescued, why didn't you escape? Why didn't you run the second you were out? Why didn't you get away? And there's many different reasons. A fear and uncertainty. But a huge reason that people say is, I didn't know I was a prisoner. I had been so manipulated. I didn't know I was in darkness. I didn't know I was a captive. And I think a lot of times, that's you and me. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:6, do not be deceived. I wonder today if many of us were so deceived, we don't even know the darkness we're in is actually so dark. We don't even know that the sin we're entertaining is actually controlling us. And I think that's where deception is so deceiving. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really is. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Because when we're deceived, there's a truth to go to. You know, we all have different opinions about sins. We all have different standards within our life. And if we were to leave it up to any one of us to decide what is good and what is evil, what is sinful and what is not, there would be complete chaos. Because your standard is different than mine. And what you see is different than what I see. But I thank God, I don't have to leave you to the judge. I thank God you don't have to leave me to the judge of what is right and wrong, but we don't have to be deceived because we can go to something that can break us free of our deception and bring truth into our situation. And we have to be able to receive it because if you want to get out of the prison, you got to use the key. And so I thought it would be good to go back to the very first deception among mankind. It happens in Genesis 2. If you have your Bibles, you can go and flip over to Genesis 2. Is it okay if we do a lot of reading this morning? Is that all right? Okay, good, good. If you got some reading glasses, go and pop them on. We're going for it, okay? Some of you are newer to faith, and so maybe you never even read this scripture before, and that's a wonderful thing that you're going to read it today. But in Genesis 2:8, it's describing God as he's creating the earth. He's creating everything we see before us, the stars, the sky, the sea. I mean, he is truly the creator. And then Genesis 2:8, it says, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put a man who he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's an important one later on. We're going to go and jump down to Genesis 2:21. This is where we come in, y'all. This is our moment, all right? This is where he creates the woman, okay? So Genesis 2:21. As it so, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Someone say woman. Say, "That's who I am." Hallelujah. "Because she was taken out of man." Verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And this is important. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Here they are in all of creation, and they decide to write that they were not ashamed. I mean, come on. You could have written any word on the planet right there. Why did God feel it was most important in this moment of creation of man and woman to let you and me know that they did not know shame? Why? Because we were never meant to know shame. Let me tell you what shames mean in this verse, in the meanings. Ashamed means a feeling of shame, guilt, fear, or regret. They did not know any feelings of shame. They did not know any feelings of fear. They did not know any feelings of regret. They did not know any feelings of guilt. And let's move on to verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field and the Lord God had made. Listen to this. He said to the woman, this is the serpent, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" I feel like she kind of exaggerated that ending, but it's okay. Not the point today. "But the serpent," that could be another message, I'm saying. "But the serpent said to the woman," listen, he says, "'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." Ooh, that sounds good. "Knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate.'" Do you see what was going on there? Did you see the deception? The enemy came along and said, "Hold up. Did God really say?" Then, not just that, but he says, "Okay, so that's what God said. But if you do eat of it, oh, you'll get the knowledge of good and evil." You know what he was saying to them that day? He said, "You know, God is saying one thing, but if you do this, this will actually be more satisfying." And I wonder today if some of us have been so deceived by the enemy that the lifestyle outside of God would be more satisfying than the lifestyle God is asking you to live. I wonder today if you've ever been in a moment where you know a good gossip is about to come. You can see it on the lips. You're saying, "Oh, this one's going to be good. Ain't nobody know about this yet." And I wonder if the enemy is lying to you, saying that story of gossip, that is far more satisfying than changing the subject with grace and doing as God has asked you to do. I wonder if you've ever been in a moment where you realize that if you told a lie in this moment, you might get the promotion. You might get the likes. You might get the accolades. You might get the popularity. And I wonder if it's ever been more satisfying for you to tell a lie than it would be to take a stance in honesty. I wonder if you've ever been in a relationship and the enemy is lying to you, saying, "You know what, if you just sleep around, or even if you sleep with the person that you're in a committed relationship with, that's far more satisfying than waiting until marriage and doing it God's way and receiving his blessing." I wonder if we've ever been deceived that the way of the enemy is far more satisfying than the way God has for us. I wonder if you've ever thought to yourself, "You know what, It's going to be far more satisfying if I just smoke what I need to smoke and do what I need to do so I don't have to deal with the anxiety and receive the peace God's way. We've all been there, and the enemy is the deceiver. He is called the accuser of the brethren, and you think he's not going to deceive you out of God's plans? Can I read to you what happened right after they were deceived? It says, the next verse, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked themselves. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Do you see what their next, the very next action that they take are actions of fear and shame. They took, their eyes were opened. They got what they wanted, but it wasn't what they thought it would be. And now shame came. Now fear, and they're saying, I need to cover up. This isn't right. I don't know about you, but how many of you ever wanted something so bad you finally got it, and it wasn't what you thought it would be, and shame came. I truly think that, you know, we're talking about moving past these lives of sin and moving past this life of unrighteousness, but I feel like there's a cage of shame that keeps us going back to the sin over and over and over again. You see, they wanted to be satisfied, but instead they got shame. The life outside of God will never satisfy you. You can try to get things the way you want. You can get the relationship. You can get the job. You can get the popularity. But it's never going to satisfy you, and you will only be left with shame. And then let me read to you what else happened. It says, and then they heard the sound of the Lord of God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What does hiding yourself tell you? Shame. Fear. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He knew. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid, but I was naked, so I hid myself. But then he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to? He asked two questions. He said, where are you? And I think that's a question for some of you here today. God is saying, where are you? Your location is not hidden from him. He knows you at Wimrock, okay? 2345 South Waterman. But that's not the question. He's saying, where are you spiritually? You see, what happened was when they fell into sin, they hid themselves. They removed themselves from the presence of God. I wonder today if some of you are desiring so much from God. You're desiring that God would change your family. God would change your life. God would change your heart. But there is some sin in your life that is removing you from the presence of God. And he's saying, I would love to bless you, but where are you? I would love to teach you, but where are you? I would love to provide for you, but where are you? And God is saying, it is time that you leave the shame, you leave the sin, and come to him. The second question is, who told you? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you should be ashamed? Who told you these lies about yourself? I wonder today if me and you, we keep going back to the same addiction, the same sin, the same reputation, because somebody told you you ain't gonna make it. Because somebody told you. My question to you is, who told you that you're not gonna make it as a Christian? Who told you you can't break that addiction? Who told you that you can't change? Who told you that you can't have a character of a godly woman in you? Who told you these lies? Because if it's the enemy, which it sounds like it is, he is a deceiver and you're being deceived. But if you listen to the voice of a father, he says another thing. He says you can make it. He says you can change. You can restore your relationship with your family, with your kids. You can do this. That's the voice of the father. You know, that word deceit in Ephesians 5:6, it says, do not be deceived. The original root of that word comes from Rama. And that means to be a witness for balances. That's kind of like, okay, very spiritual, Beth. I know. To be a witness among balances. To make sure that the balances are not deceived. To make sure that nobody is changing the balance. Have you ever seen a scale with scale on two sides to make sure they are perfectly equal? You ever seen that? You see, a lot of times we scale up our life like this. The forgiveness of God with how I act and who I am. Right? There's a scale that we have. And the witness is there to make sure that nothing is off balance. But sometimes the deceiver comes around and he begins to descale. Sometimes the deceiver comes around, he says, here's the forgiveness of God, and here's you. But don't you remember that you kind of messed up as a wife the other day? Don't you remember you kind of fibbed about to that one person, you know, about that one thing? Don't you remember that you're over here, you're talking about grace, but you judge people all day long. And suddenly the scale is off. And there needs to be a witness to say, hey, that ain't right. The scale is not true, and something needs to happen. I came to tell you that Jesus is your witness. He not only came to make sure the scale is right, he came to wipe your balance clean. He is the Savior who saved you. Can I read to you from Romans 5:8? It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Oh, come on, somebody. While you were still a sinner. I know you are saved by grace now. Hallelujah. But there was a time when you were still a sinner and God still died for you. And since we have been made right, you're made right by God's sight. In God's sight, by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Anyone thankful for that? Like, come on now. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. He came not just to be a witness to make sure the balance is equal. He came to wipe the balance clean for you. Do not be deceived by the enemy. You know, I kind of feel bad for people who don't want to come to church because they think like we're all stuffy and we're all perfect and we're like cookie cutter lives. Like, I wish they knew. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish they knew who the saints of God were. I wish they knew that the verses in Ephesians 4 and 5 about idolaters and people in adultery and people who are greedy and people who are living outside of righteousness. I wish they knew that that was actually you and me before we met Jesus Christ. I wish they knew that we were once people of darkness, but now we are in the light of the Lord. Let's continue in Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. That's who you are. Say, I'm a child of light. I'm a child of God. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. It's like, don't even be a part of the darkness. I think what it's describing there is a complete break from darkness. A complete separation from darkness. This is a word for somebody. You've been wondering, should I break away from that thing, from that person? I'll tell you what, this is the time. God is saying, if it is unrighteous, if it is pulling you away, you need to make a clean break from that thing. I came to tell somebody today, you need to make a clean break from that relationship. Get out your phone, find the block button, and you press that by the power of God, and you make a break from an unhealthy relationship that is dragging you back into the darkness. Make a clean break from that addiction. Make a clean break, oh my goodness, from that TV show. Listen, some TV shows make me so depressed, it is only by the grace of God I wake up the next morning, okay? Like, I'm serious. I thought I found a good show, and then I realized, oh, I'm so sad, always. And now I can't watch it. I'm watching cartoons every day, okay, people? It's all we got. But you need to make a clean break from that thing, from that person, from that mindset. Oh my goodness, maybe we are sitting around thinking about ourselves so much, taking pictures of ourselves so much. We have this self-centered view of only ourselves. And God is saying, if I could just break you away from yourself. Come on, somebody. Just break you away from yourself. Maybe he could do something. We need to make a break away from darkness and have nothing to do with it. If I could say it like this, it's time to come out of the dark because you were made for the light. It's time to come out of the dark. You were made for the light. And the enemy would love to keep you there. You know, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I went somewhere and they were checking me out. And they already had my information in there. And they said, Miss Sendell. And I said, excuse me. I just got to tell you something. You might need to update your records. Because my name ain't Sendell no more. But I done got married to a very handsome man. And if you take a look at this ID, my name is no longer Sendell, but it is Tui. Olo, Sanga, come on, somebody. So if you don't mind, would you update that record? Because I was once a Sendell, but I'm not anymore. And I need you to recognize that today. And I wonder today if some of you need to tell the devil, I think you need to update your record. Because you think I'm that same person, and you think I'm going to fall for that same thing, but I came to tell you I don't go by that name no more. I am a child of light. I wonder if you need to text somebody, would you mind updating your record? I used to go out with you on Friday nights and we had a good time, but you know what? Could you just not text me on Friday nights? Because I don't go by that name no more. That ain't me. And when you call, I ain't gonna answer. I wonder today if you could update your own records about yourself, about who you are, that you don't go by the name of not good enough. You don't go by the name of shame. You don't go by the name of rejected and failure. Update your own record. You have a new name, the child of light. You know, I tend to think that what other people think about us have a really big effect. I tend to think that there's a couple things that keep us in place of going back to sin, like we talked about shame. But I wonder if reputation has a really big thing to do with it, too. Like some of us, you think about your reputation, you just shake your head like, oof, girl, you don't want to know. Sometimes the reputation of what other people think about us keep us in this box of who we now think we are. And it's really easy, especially if you have people around you who are very vocal. They say, you're trying that Christian thing again? Girl, you failed 3 times, okay? Just give it up. Even the devil shaking his head, they're like, no. Okay, your reputation. Man, what if people are saying about me that I'm selfish or I'm rude or I'm mean, and you begin to think, man, this is who I am. You're not a good mom. You're not a good wife. Your reputation. You know, I think of reputation, I think about the woman caught in the act of adultery. Do you remember that story? Jesus was walking and they actually dragged a woman through the city to Jesus, who was caught in the act of adultery. You know, the idea is that she was probably a promiscuous woman. But if people didn't know her reputation before, oh, when they saw her being dragged down the street, oh, they knew who she was, you know what I'm saying? Like, they knew now. And then Jesus forgives her. You know the story, he writes in the sand, and he says, go and sin no more. Could you imagine with me the next day? Everyone knows her story. Everyone knows who she is. There she goes. Kids, get away. It's the woman who's dragged in the street. She's unclean. She was caught in adultery. A month later, there she is. The woman who's caught in the act of adultery. Imagine being that woman And here she is. Jesus said, walk away and sin no more. Well, how can I sin no more when everyone knows my sin? And they keep on calling me back to it. Do you know what she had to overcome? The voices around her. The people saying, no, we know who you are. Why don't you just go back to what you're doing? She had to overcome the voices of the people around her and listen to the voice of the Savior. Just keep replaying that. Go and sin no more. You're forgiven. Go and sin. Okay, I know they're talking about me. He said, go and sin no more. You see, why don't we do this? We get so worried about our reputation. We get so worried about what people are thinking, even to the point that we start to believe it. How about this? You worry about your integrity, and God will worry about your reputation. No. You worry about doing the things of God. You worry about walking in righteousness. You worry about the changes you need to make in your life, and God will take care of your reputation. Because if you're listening too much to other people, you will go back into sin. You will be deceived, not by the devil, by what other people are saying. Now, don't be getting mad at God if you are mean and people are saying you're mean. Don't be getting mad at God if you're sleeping around and you're like, Lord, people say I'm sleeping around. He's like, well, you is, okay? So, right, don't be getting mad at God for things you're doing and people see it. But when you start to make changes, when you start to live in righteousness, God says, you worry about you, I'll worry about them. It takes time to build reputation. You can ruin your reputation in a minute, in a conversation. I've ruined my reputation with a word, with one sentence that went too far. You can ruin it with a text, a picture. My goodness. And it takes time. But while God is rebuilding your reputation, guess what? You're building integrity. And that's more important. So you keep on going, girlfriend. You keep on fighting. You keep on being you. And God will take care of that. Now, some of you are loving this message because you feel like I ain't talking to you. You're like, yes, I can get out of here. And I am untouched by the gospel. You know what I'm saying? Right? Some of you are so excited because I haven't really hit exactly maybe something God is speaking to you. But I got bad news for you. You know, when talking about light, Jesus actually said something really mind-boggling. It took me a couple days. I was just like, I don't necessarily understand everything Jesus is saying, but in Luke 11:35, he says something interesting. He's talking about light taking you over, the light of God, the goodness of God, the righteousness of God. And in Luke 11:35, it says, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. Say, what? And then listen to this. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight was filling you with light. With no dark corners. You know, I don't know if you remember when, I think it was you, Pastor Michelle, who were talking about that Roomba that was stuck in a, what's it called, in a bathroom. You know what a Roomba is? It's like a little vacuum thing. And so I actually have one of those because I'm lazy. And it was like my first pet. Before I got dogs, I had a Roomba. Before I had children, I had a Roomba. It's called Baby Roomba on my phone. And so me and Roomba, we go way back. But the Roomba's interesting because it'll clean the whole house. It does work. Except the corners. The whole house will be clean and perfect. But, you know, I had to go buy myself a broom and clean up them corners. And the whole house wasn't clean. You see, what happens often is we're walking with God. We are filled with light. But sometimes we got some dark little corners. They ain't clean. They ain't fixed up. They ain't ready. And I wonder, Tay, what are your dark corners? And it's okay that you have some. It's okay that there's things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you on. You see, I think dark corners are often things that we don't think are very important to the kingdom of God. We deal with the big sins and the light of God comes within us, but those little things, I'm good. I ain't going to hell over that. Right? But the Bible makes it clear, it's the little foxes. It's the little things that spoil what God has for you. I don't know what your dark corners might be. I'm just thinking about our generation. I'm just thinking about us on the earth today. I wonder if there's a lack of character in your life. I wonder if you got so much together, but yet the character in you has been so damaged or so changed by the society you live in, by the people around you, that now your little dark corner has an issue of lack of character. I wonder if maybe there's a dark corner of honesty, being honest with the people around you, living a life of honesty within the church, outside the church, on your Instagram, on your Facebook, being honest in moments that matter most. I wonder if there's a dark corner of lack of kindness. You know, life can be harsh. Oh my goodness, it can be harsh, and it can make you feel like every day is a fight. Every conversation is a fight. It can make you become very calloused and hard. But just because you had to live through some things and you had to walk through some things, maybe that I don't even understand and I will never know, doesn't mean there needs to be a lack of kindness within you. Because God makes it clear that we are to be kind. It's the kindness of God that draws people in. I wonder if God wants to kind of break off some of that callousness you've developed. I wonder if in your dark corner you've realized that you know, you don't really do the right thing at the right time. I don't know, maybe at work something's going on and someone makes a racist comment and you know that you should probably stand up for what's right, but fear and lack of courage makes you keep your mouth shut. I wonder if we could do the right thing at the right time, or we can stand up for people who don't deserve to be treated with disrespect. I wonder if we could do the right thing at the right time when you're walking out of the grocery store and there's the homeless guy who's always there and he's probably rude to you and you think, oh, I don't want to give him anything, but the Holy Spirit says do it. But because of his reputation, you say, nah, not today. Could we do the right thing at the right time? I wonder if there's lack of forgiveness. In your dark corner, there's unforgiveness of a situation, of a person. There's bitterness. Whenever you think of that person or that situation, oh my goodness, it just turns you upside down. God's saying, that's a dark corner. Could you let me get my light in there? I want to expose it, like Ephesians says. Ephesians says, expose it. Lack of integrity. Doing what you said you would do. Being the same person you are when no one's around. Is there integrity that could be developed more within your life? Modesty. Is there lack of modesty in your life? Modesty is a questionable thing because of the world that we live in. It's very hard to understand what modesty is, and you are going by the worldly standards. You are going by what the Kardashians are wearing. You are going by what Instagram is saying. And God's saying, it's time you cover up. Listen, we don't need you walking around turtlenecks every day, okay? But you don't need to be showing something that you're going to regret you showed once you get married. Because it was made for your husband. Gratitude. Oh my goodness, is there a lack of gratitude? I was astounded by how much God talks about gratitude in the Bible. And how much he says, like, this is the answer, gratitude. Your life's falling apart, gratitude. You hate everybody, gratitude. You fell over, gratitude, right? I mean, I felt like everything was gratitude, your thankfulness. Where are you in that? Because that actually matters. But we sweep it into the corner and we say, look it, I'm light. And God say, girl, no, you ain't. He knows. He sees your corner. Discipline. Discipline. Have you been allowing God to create discipline in you, where you read your Bible, where you wake up and you pray and you do what God is asking you to do? Or has it just kind of been a free-for-all? You know what? Whenever I can, I will, but I'm not really going to try. God's saying, that's in the dark corner. Let's bring that out a little bit and expose it. You know, I watch a show. It's called Insane Pools. Anyone ever seen that? Oh, I love that show. It is so good. It's about this guy. He's extremely creative, and he builds these insane pools. I mean, stuff that you're like, I didn't even know that could be made. And he really has a gift from God. And as he's building, he will completely tear apart a backyard. He will completely tear out the old pool, and he will destroy it fully. And it's usually at that time that the homeowner comes to check the progress. And when he sees the homeowner, he's like, uh-oh. And the homeowner comes out, their eyes are big as the moon, and they are just like, what did you do to my house? And he always says this. He says, you know, it has to get worse before it can get better. I got to kind of tear it up. I kind of got to tear out that old pool. I got to kind of tear out some things underneath the surface to get it out of the way so I can build something that is beautiful, so I can build something that will sustain you, so I can build something for you. I think that's the same thing for God. When we expose these little things and they kind of hurt a little bit and it kind of almost feels like, not me, her. She got the issues, right? It kind of can hurt a little bit, but God's saying, let's it has to get a little worse. Let's just dig. But I'm going to build something beautiful on the inside of you. I'm going to give you freedom. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you peace. And so as we are living as children of light, I think there's a couple things we need to remember. When this was written in the first century, the idea of Christianity was not a way to get to heaven. That's not why people joined Christianity. That was their furthest thought. They probably didn't even understand hell at the time because of the way that was talked about. So that wasn't their reason for joining Christianity. You see, when this was written to the first century church, they joined a religion at that time to follow Jesus, put their lives on the line for what? Because it was a new way of living that brought freedom. They understood that this life that Jesus is describing, it actually changes me. This life that Jesus is describing, it actually is doing something on the inside. The goal wasn't heaven. The goal was now. The goal was, how can I be a Christian now? How can I apply these things now? And I think sometimes we get so set on heaven, we forget to be children of heaven here. You see, you're not going to apply these things so that you can make it to heaven. You're going to apply these things because you want to have a heavenly life now. You don't want to be fighting with your family all the time. You don't want your marriage to every week be like, I think it's ending. You don't want your job to always be questioned. You don't always want to be failing your classes. You don't always want to be addicted. He's saying, no, 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 this being children of light, this is a new way of living. You know, I think it's interesting that he said, live as children of light. He could have said anything. He could have said, live as a rabbi of light, live as a professor of light, live as anything of light. But he chose children. I would like to think he chose children. He talks about children in the Bible quite a bit, Jesus. And it's always with this endearing love. You know, I never screamed at my niece or my nephew or the kids who are around in our life for not knowing that something that maybe an adult would understand, right? Because their understanding is limited. They are still learning. There is a grace for children that I do not give my 20-year-old intern, okay? Right? There is a grace that I give to a child. Maybe when they're rude to me, maybe when they didn't put something back, maybe who knows what it is. There's a grace given because they're a child. They're learning. And I think it's interesting that Jesus said, you are children of light. I would like to think it's because of this. He's saying, I am the father of lights. That's what he says in the Bible. You are children of light and you're going to make mistakes. But I got some grace for you. But I got some love for you. I keep on going. Some of you, you see Jesus as such a harsh individual. Maybe because the Father in your life was harsh. Maybe because some things in your life were harsh. But he's saying, you are my children and you're going to make mistakes, but when you do, I am going to be here. I am your father. And hey, if you try to break that addiction, and guess what? You make a mistake, I got you. Let's go. I have grace for you. I have forgiveness for you. If you try to make some changes in your life and you make a few mistakes, God is saying, get back up and let's go. You are my children. I have you. I'm not letting go. I will be with you. A father guides. He's going to guide you. A father encourages. He's going to encourage you. A father loves you. He's going to love you. He says, you are children of light. If I could close with this verse, 1 Peter 2:9. It says, for you are a chosen people. God chose you. God chose you. Whoever played dodgeball? Did anyone ever play dodgeball when you were little? Okay, was anyone ever picked last? I know, it's a shame. It's a shame. I would pick you first. But I don't know if you've ever been on the dodgeball team and maybe you've been the last to be picked and they say, I want that person on my team, and you're waiting. I want that person on my team. And you're like, oh. And you're like, I want that person. And finally it comes down to you and they say, okay, I'll take them. I guess. Stay in the back. Don't get in the way, right? And sometimes we can feel like that's how God chose us. He had to take me. I was just here. I'm his child. I feel like he has no choice at this point. But the reality is he's saying, no, no, no. I chose you. I picked you. I formed you. He said, I chose you. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Who would ever thought that you would say one day, I'm royal, I'm holy. Oh, some of y'all know what you've done, and God's still saying, you're holy, and you're God's very own possession. Those are words are not written about this person or the preacher. This is written about you. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of what? Into his wonderful what? Come on, somebody. He called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. For you once had no identity as a people. Have you ever been in a place of your life where you did not know who you were? You were trying to figure it out. You were trying this. You were trying that. You were trying to be like that person. You once had no identity, but God says, not anymore. You are children of light. You are a child of God. And now you are God's people. You once received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. His mercy is ready and available always for you. When you come to him and you say, God, I've been, you see Ephesians 4 and 5, I've been doing those things. God, forgive me. When you come and you repent and you ask for that forgiveness, he will restore you. He will show you mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.